listeners, and welcome to the David Crit Podcast. I'm your host, Britt Lawton, and in this episode, I'm joined by artist-photographer Lebo Talka to speak about her newest body of work, Seeds of the Dirt. Seeds of the Dirt is an artsy online exhibition by Lebo Talka, hosted on the David Crit Project's Artsy page, and explores the issues of violence experienced by black female domestic workers in South Africa. It follows on from Lebo's debut exhibition, It Is Well, An Ode to Karabo, which was hosted at David Crit Projects in 2018. Both of these bodies of work explore the issues of gender-based violence within a South African society. Lebo Talka was born and raised in Johannesburg and has been a freelance photographer since her graduation from the Open Window Institute in 2015. Lebo is a self-identified feminist, which lends itself to her photography. It Is Well, An Ode to Karabo was Lebo's first body of fine art photography, which showcased at David Crit Projects in 2018. This body of work has since shown at the Addis Photo Festival in Ethiopia. Lebo is also one of 14 artists to participate in the Bag Factory Artist Studio and Art Sources Career Bootcamp Program of 2019. In this episode, we catch up with Lebo about her artistic photography career, her newest photography series, Seeds of the Dirt, her conceptual framework, her feelings about moving art exhibitions online, the importance of observing and absorbing what is going on in the world around you, and so much more. All the links to the images and exhibitions that are mentioned in the show can be found in the description. Please help us to reach as many people as possible with this important body of work by sharing this episode and the exhibition links. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hi Lebo, thanks so much for joining me today. So let's get into it. Would you like to start by giving us all an overview of what you've been up to the past 2 years since your first exhibition in 2018 with David Crit Project titled It Is Well, An Ode to Karabo?
With that body of work, that was very transitional for me in terms of where I was in my life, because I was heading towards the end of my studies and I sort of had this like really great opportunity that not a lot of people get because the art world is very small, and yeah, you just sort of just hope that people engage with your work. And for me, since that time, I've really had a lot of great opportunities, yeah, in the art world and interacting with a lot of great artists. And I'm really grateful for being able to know the artists that I've known since then and gotten to know, and whose work I've been able to see and lessons that I'm able to learn, because I've also interacted with the Bag Factory, and I've been in a program of theirs and exhibited with them in a group show, and that was amazing because I learned so much from that program, because that program was basically cultivating new artists, and so that was amazing. And going to Ethiopia as part of the Addis Photo Fest, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Just meeting African artists from literally all over the continent, that was definitely one of the most incredible experiences of my life. And yeah, definitely something that I'm grateful for. Especially as a creative, you sort of go through like the ebbs and flows of whether or not you should still continue doing what you're doing, and whether or not you're built for this industry, and whether or not you're going to have a long career and stuff like that. But when you meet other artists and you see how hopeful and how creative and how massively inspiring people are, and just how particularly how the African continent in terms of the art scene is, and just how much hope I have, those kinds of moments really sort of remind me of how I should just keep going, and I would definitely want to be a part of it, and I continue to want to be a part of it. So since then, it's definitely been, probably it's been 2 years, because I've done quite a bit in 2 years. Still figuring things out, as I think we all do in life in general. Just figuring out who I am as an artist, how I best express myself, how I sort of put what I think and what I feel onto physical objects, in this case, prints. And yeah, it's just about continuing to create things that I care about, and I hope that other people will care about too.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the fact that you've had the opportunity to be a part of like the Bag Factory and the Addis Photo Festival and be amongst those artists, I think it's a testimony to the kind of work that you're doing. I mean, it's very important work that you're engaging with. You know, that whole industry around courage in terms of being an artist and pursuing the kind of commentary that you're pursuing, I think it all goes hand in hand. So I think it's deserving that you're up there with those those kinds of inspiring artists, and I'm sure you're going to inspire many others to do the same. So yeah,
I
continue.
Hope so.
Absolutely. I mean, you've already now got your second body of work that's on show, which we've got online at the moment, called Seeds of the Dirt. So it's great to be able to put that online and have another platform to show your work. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Seeds of the Dirt and where that inspiration came from?
Where to begin? Seeds of the Dirt was definitely a long-standing project that took me a while to sort of bring to fruition. It definitely wasn't a weekend kind of thing. It took me like a few months from ideation to execution to the editing process that I go through, and through research on top of that. That took some months. And also, because it's so political, for me, it's quite personal during the process of making it. And I have to have a lot of conversations with myself as to why do I want to do it? Why does it matter to me? Why do I feel as if I needed to exist physically in order for it to be engaged with different viewers and different people? And Seeds of the Dirt was basically, to say where it began, I'd say it was definitely like a thought process of mine that I had from time to time. Because for me, my ideas don't really come sort of like an aha moment one day. It's really more of like a thought that just keeps ruminating in my head for like weeks or even months at a time. And the more present the thought is, the more I just sort of shift towards maybe I should engage with this thought. And for me, the thought was just observing the presence of Black womanhood within the world, and particularly with Black domestic workers and their existence within South Africa, politically, socially, economically. And so for me, I had this idea just based off of my own experiences, interacting on a daily basis, moving through South Africa, societally, and my own personal thoughts and feelings about how Black women exist within South Africa specifically, and particularly how women on the lower economic scale, in this case Black domestic workers specifically, exist, and how they have to navigate and how they have to live in South Africa, and the vulnerabilities that they face, and the vulnerabilities that they're subjected to because of their class, their race, and their gender, and how that's a trinity that they're sort of trapped in. To sort of broaden it to the larger conversation of Black womanhood in general, and particularly within South Africa, because I think Black womanhood has a very sordid history within South Africa's timeline overall till the present day. And so for me, there's a lot of sort of interacting ideas, but overall the arching theme was for me exploring Black womanhood outside the scope of the violence that it faces politically, socioeconomically, and things like that. That's basically like the core idea, which expands into many other motifs, symbolisms, things like that.
It's quite consuming in terms of layers that it engages with and that it tackles.
Yeah.
And where does the title Seeds of the Dirt come from?
The title Seeds of the Dirt actually comes from a quote that I remembered. I forgot who the author of it was. Basically, the quote goes, yeah, they tried to bury us, but they forgot that we were seeds. That's a rough paraphrase. The title came at the end of the whole process, because for me, I usually title my body of work at the end. When I'm done really thinking and processing and researching and creating and stuff like that, that quote really stuck in my head. And particularly when it comes to when I see just how Black women in particular are treated in South Africa, and more importantly, Black women who are on the lower economic scale are treated in South Africa, and how we're buried a lot. In general, Black women are buried all the time, and particularly Black women who are poor are buried even lower into the ground. This whole body of work, one of the main aims was to encourage Black women to remember that our existence does not stay limited within the parameters of how violent society wants to treat us. And so they tried to bury us, but they forgot that we were seeds.
That's very powerful. I must say, I of course, I hadn't heard that quote before. So now that you've put it in that context, it's an incredibly powerful phrase. Good choice in title, I must say.
Thank you.
So one thing that you've mentioned is this idea of the personal and the political. And I just want to tie that into the fact that you use yourself in a lot of these images. I mean, it's quite performative in that way.
When it came to choosing whether or not I wanted to use a model in the beginning of just of my career, as early as it's been, when it came to choosing whether or not I wanted to use a model and choosing if I wanted to use just an external person to be the muse of my portraits, I decided to use myself, and I think it was a very organic decision. It wasn't necessarily me weighing the pros and cons. It was more of a really organic decision. And also, I do everything myself. So for me, I guess it's a way of having this sort of personal moment with myself, because once I sort of create the work and once it's everything's packaged and together, I release it into the world and it exists as its own self. Ironically, I actually learned that from following Beyonce. It's ironic. But yeah, just her work process. Outside of the whole just being a fan, I'm a fan of her work ethic and I'm a fan of how she thinks. And particularly when she said, I think it was in an interview sometime recently, when she said that as creatives, it's very important to not be weighed down by the things that we create when people critique them and when people engage with them in a way that we don't expect or we don't sort of receive positive interactions from. It's important to let what you create live on its own so that you can give space for yourself to continue to create without feeling as if you need to subscribe to any particular person's way of thinking. So you can maintain the integrity of who you are and your thought process. And so at its core, the topics that I talk about are personal, even if they haven't necessarily happened to me or anybody that I know, but just existing as a Black woman, understanding that I will always have solidarity towards Black women, regardless of, you know, class and socioeconomic leveling, because I think I'm reminded all the time that Black womanhood is often tricked into believing that if you earn a certain amount or if you jump through a certain number of hoops that you'll be rewarded and you'll be elevated, and that's not the truth. For me, I'm never fooled by capitalism and how it tricks you into believing that you can sort of remove yourself from your Blackness, and because Blackness in society is still viewed heavily as a negative thing, as something you have to remove guilt and remove evilness from. I think it's very important that I had to use myself and to continue to use myself as the muse, and I still have to always make sure that I'm not physically recognizable within these portraits, mainly because it's not about me, and I always maintain this. You know, even though I am in the photos myself, symbolically, I'm showing solidarity, but physically, I don't want to be recognizable because it's not about me, actually. And it's really about me stepping into a character, just this sort of more spiritual being who I want to sort of guide Black womanhood's liberation through this imagery. And that's why I sort of create these scenes that are very spiritual, very symbolic, very graphic, very vibrant, very outerworldly. Because for me, that's where my mind goes. Because I feel as if I had the choice, I would just take Blackness out of this world and let it exist in its own universe where it can exist fully. And it doesn't have to sort of prove that it doesn't deserve oppression.
Yeah, no, and it would seem that you create this universe in your photographs. I mean, not only by using yourself as a model, but everything that you do is very considered, from the props to the poses to the choice of colors. I mean, I'm aware that in your previous body of work, It Is Well, Ode to Krabo, there was the decision to blacken your skin as dark as possible so that people didn't recognize you. You make very deliberate choices in your motifs, your colors, your titles, your poses, you know, everything. And I just wondered how much of that is related to telling the story and how much of it is actually artistic license. I mean, a lot of your choices allude to religion, particularly the figure of Mary and the stained glass windows. Do you want to just maybe elaborate on all of that?
I think just on my journey as an artist, I've sort of had to research more in-depthly when it comes to Mary as a figure and what she represented within the time span that she was living in, religiously and sort of personally, because during my research, I found it very interesting that a lot of readings spoke about the fact that Mary really didn't have autonomy as a person. She didn't have any choices as to whether or not she wanted to be this human being that was elevated to a deity status. She didn't have that autonomy. She didn't have that self-determination. And even though she was perceived as this sort of powerful being, she really didn't have autonomy, just like every other woman has in this present day. And I found that very interesting. For me, the choice of motifs and the choice of graphics, colors and what shapes and tones and stuff like that, that I use to represent particular things, it's mainly from a storytelling perspective and a little bit of artistic, but mainly from the storytelling perspective, because I take a lot of images from the Roman Catholic faith, a lot of images from Roman Catholic faith, and I've sort of scratched the surface as to my research into it. And it wasn't intentional. I just, yeah, Mary is an important figure within the Roman Catholic faith. So that sort of led me into that and an exploration of who she was, how the faith sort of idealized her very intensely. And actually, each title of the piece is actually basically the titles that she got within her lifetime. That's one thing that I found very interesting within my research of the Roman Catholic faith is that she has many, many names, many terms of endearment. And so for each piece is a title that Mary was called within that faith. And within my research within that, just understanding how they created their stories, how they depicted them, within their cathedrals and the glass stains. The glass staining was my main sort of graphic lead into the faith and how I found them so beautiful. I always found the glass stained windows so beautiful. And when I researched and just finding out the fact that for them, it's mainly about storytelling. That's how they have, I guess, summarized the important events within their faith and within whatever specific church, within whatever specific cathedral. And which idol they want to sort of represent and which moments within their faith they want to represent. And I found that's really, really interesting. And how I wanted to take that storytelling and the graphic elements of the glass stained windows and literally create my own cathedral of sorts.
Right.
And so that was my main drive to create my own cathedral. And especially when it comes to a lot of faiths in the world and a lot of religions, Blackness is still very rejected. The presence of Black people within many religions is rejected, even if statistically they are present. But when it comes to overall within the faith, they are rejected. They're not welcomed. They're not valued. And even within the storytelling itself, within all the stained glass windows that I found in my research, it was mainly white figures. And that's not a coincidence. For me, I don't really like to subscribe to the idea of coincidence, especially when it comes to groups of people who want to follow particular ideologies. Everything is deliberate. Imagery is very deliberate. And yeah, I just wanted to explore that and just to sort of take that and use it in my own way to convey my own message.
Mm. I must say, like looking at the body of work that is in Seeds of the Dirt, I think you've managed to capture it very well, and I think you've achieved what you set out to do. Do you write any like accompanying text to your photographs?
Yeah, it's just a text of the story. Just summarize it so that people can understand the events in a way that's like succinct.
I wondered if there's a particular artwork that you can break down, some like Health of the Sick. I mean, of course, that title is alluding to Mary.
Well, when it came to, I'll just speak about the one because they're all very intricate.
Yeah.
So I think I'd take a while to explain.
Sure.
So when it comes to Health of the Sick, which was the first piece, I think it was one of either the first or second piece that I created. Just the story in general, it was about a domestic worker who was assaulted by her employer for taking her ill daughter to the clinic during her working hours. And then her employer basically assaulted her with punches punches, calling her names and stuff like that. And then she went to the security within the complex that they lived and reported him. He paid her 200 rand to not lay charges. That's one of the many stories within the series. For me, when it came to tasking myself with how to represent the situation without repeating the trauma itself, because that's one main thing I have to keep in my mind all the time, that I always make sure I remember all the time, is to, like Gabrielle Goliath said, another incredible artist, in one of her talks, she said, it's very important when it comes to representing trauma to not repeat it. When it came to the specific story, it's about how class is weaponized against domestic workers, and how their own violence can be dismissed based off of a simple thing such as presenting them with money, you know, and how that really minimizes their value as human beings. and how that often happens. And especially when it comes to the various research that I've done, I've seen a bunch of documentaries as to, particularly a documentary that was on Checkpoint. It was engaging with domestic workers and how they're abused physically, economically, and just all kinds of aspects. And I kept that video, and I made sure I researched it and I kept it. And I sort of followed each story, even some of the stories. I think one or two of the stories came from that documentary itself. And it really, at its core, really bothered me. So for me, when I did further research and to try and find more situations of these women, who are all alive, by the way, from what I'm aware of, I just felt it was really important to take the women who, when it comes to the societal totem pole, are at the bottom and elevate them high enough to the point of deity status, and to provide commentary, to provide people with a three-dimensional experience. Because that's one thing I really aim to do when it comes to how people engage my work. Because at first, when you look at the work graphically, it's very engaging. It's pretty. There are colors. There are all kinds of textures and things like that. And you think it's beautiful from at face value. And when you read the title and you read the description and you look back at the work, it provides a different experience completely. And so for me, that's very three-dimensional. That's what I want to get people to experience. That sort of, oh, wait, this wasn't as pretty as I thought it was. And the reasons why it's not pretty is not because of the work itself, but because of about what the work talks about.
And I think you've managed to portray that message very well, because it's challenging stories, it's challenging imagery, even though at face value it is beautiful, but then you do read into the context behind it, and it does make you do a double take. But I think you've handled it incredibly well. To ask you, from that first series of work, It Is Well, Ode to Korabo, to this new body of work, what would you say has been your biggest lesson in creating these photography pieces that are now in the fine art realm?
I think my biggest lesson has been that I deserve to have fluidity within my work. I don't have to cage myself to talk about particular things because of who I am within society. I don't have to limit myself to particular topics. I don't have to limit myself to engage with particular things, especially when it comes to just what's been happening recently in the world, in South Africa, and just how I'm allowed to not choose to engage with particular things. And it's difficult, especially when you care about the things that are happening. And it's just about caring about your own mental health. I think that's very important, especially if you're someone who is very empathetic towards human pain in whatever form it comes in, especially as an artist. It's very important to learn when to observe and when to absorb, because for me, inherently I absorb, and I've had to make sure to always catch myself and say, do I need to absorb this or do I need to just observe it? Because you get very overwhelmed. And I think there's this whole misconception in the public that, you know, people like artists are really sad people who sit in a corner all day and don't open the curtains and they create these masterpieces. No. I think you have to really be in a good place as a creative in order to create something. It's really difficult when you're in an emotionally overwhelmed state, whether it's personal life, whether it's external situations that are happening in society, and you see everything's actually burning down. And to try and create that, because I think a lot of people don't understand when it comes to the creative process. Maybe it's not for every artist, but for me, is in order for me to comment about something, in order for me to create something, I have to absorb whatever's happening, absorb it fully, interrogate it, critique it, ask myself what I think of it, why do I think of it. This whole internal process happens long before the outcome ever comes. And so for me, I've given myself the grace to not feel the need or the pressure to comment on everything, and to understand that I'm more important, I'm more valuable as a human being than the works I create, and to not run myself into the ground making everything all the time, talking about everything all the time, and not to negate that nothing is important. No, there's a lot of things that are important, and it's overwhelming, especially when it comes to gender-based violence and how it's flared up so many times in Africa. And it's exhausting as a woman, period, to see that, to engage with it, to see all the violence, and to be consistently reminded that you mean nothing, and particularly women of color, and even more specifically black women, because there is a hierarchy. So it's just about choosing myself first to see if I'm okay with engaging with whatever topic, whatever situation is happening, and see if I'm within the correct mental state to be able to process this and create something surrounding it.
I suppose that's, yeah, that all kind of circles back to that idea of autonomy and being able to make those decisions, but also being brave enough to step up and speak out. And I thank you for taking up that challenge of creating these works and presenting imagery where we can engage in these difficult conversations. It's not an easy task to do, and I think a lot of artists are very brave to do so.
Thank you.
Also, I want to congratulate you on the body of work that's in Seeds of the Dirt. And I wondered how if you wanted to elaborate a little bit about your feelings of this online exhibition now that we've adapted to.
I think at face value, it's being worried that people would engage with the work differently than how they would if they saw it and engaged with it physically. And I think just feelings if you won't get the best representation of your work, even simple things such as whether or not people will understand, will see particular details online versus how they would see it in real life. Especially when it comes to, if I think like other artists who have mixed media works, for me at least it's 2D. For other people who have mixed media works, I wonder how they feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, in terms of accessibility, I'm glad that people will be able to access my work more easily and won't have to be sort of shut out geographically, since it'll be at a particular place at a particular time. So I'm glad about that. But it's definitely mixed feelings. So I just hope that the accessibility of it outweighs sort of the cons of the digital space.
Just from a personal perspective, a lot of people are engaging with content online, and a lot of it is content that they perhaps wouldn't have engaged with before. So, like you say, that accessibility is there. And I, for one, am excited that your works are on this platform, and that, you know, we at David Crow Projects are now able to share and promote and tell people about it, because it's important what you have to say in these works. So congratulations again, and good luck.
Thank you. I'm just really grateful that I'm given these sort of platforms to be able to present my work and to be able to have it be engaged with, and more importantly, to have my thoughts be accessed by other people and have my thoughts be engaged with.
Thank you for sharing those thoughts. You know, like you say, sometimes you do have to check in with yourself and make sure that you're in that space to communicate effectively. But at the same time, we're lucky that you're able to do so through imagery, which is hugely accessible. So thank you for having the bravery and courage to step up and do that. And congratulations again.
Thank you. Thank you.